corruption is so rampant, okay? It's because the devil wants a world where a man is walking down the street, okay? But because he can't hold himself, he will just be so moved and grab a girl and rape her. That's what the devil wants. He wants a world like that, where nobody can just, you know, be able to hold and control their urges for sex, but just begin to display it. Now, let me tell you something. What you do in your room, okay, can affect your neighborhood, can affect your street, can affect your town, can affect your state, and affect your country, and affect the world. Yes. Because that girl that man would rape is going to give her, is going to torment her mind, okay? And she's not going to end up so bad. She might hate guys. She might love guys. She might be so addicted to sex. And it goes on and on and on, okay? So let's be very sensitive, all right? By the grace of God, I humble myself. The Lord told me last year that he has given me a voice, that as I speak to people, they'll be broken from sexual addiction. That was last year, and man of God told me that I'll be speaking on breaking from my sexual addiction. I wasn't surprised, all right? I'm not the one speaking right now. God will be speaking through me. Just open your heart. Open your heart. Praise God. All right, just next. All right, what is sexual addiction? Okay, before I start, I would have preached this, but I'm going to teach it. But I'll be fast about it because of time. And it's a confirmation to what Pastor Aaron said. God wants me to teach this so that you yourself sitting here can teach people. Because I was struggling with it myself. I need to preach this. I love preaching. But God said I should teach you. So you will know this for yourself and you will take it out there. See, God does not work with crowd. He doesn't. He didn't stay with 10,000 people. He only worked with 12 disciples, and they impacted the world. You guys are enough. Praise God. What is sexual addiction? Sexual addiction is a sexual behavior whereby an individual is not able to contain and control his or her sexual urges and desires, but must fulfill it by having sex, watching pornography, masturbating, etc. All right, next. How many of us know this man? All right, sorry. Okay, you know him. You know the story. How many of us? No, nobody else. This is Eric Castro. Okay, I was just having a conversation with one of my head's leaders in church, and he talked about this man, and he gripped my spirit, and God said I should share his story with you, all right? This is Eric Castro. He was sentenced to life imprisonment August this year, plus 1,000 years extra. I mean, I wonder what kind of sentence is that? Life imprisonment for 1,000 years without parole and all. Okay, what did he do? He adopted about 4 girls, okay? About 10 years ago, he abducted 4 girls. I think some were 8, some were 10, 12. And has been having sex with them for the past 10 years under his basement. All right? Until it was discovered what he has been doing recently and all that. And he was apprehended and, you know, took to court and all. And do you know what he said? He said something that the Spirit of God drew my attention to. He said, I am not a monster. I am just sick. I am addicted to pornography. When I read that statement, he said, the Spirit of God took me to see that when this man was sitting down, the very first day he watched pornography. That's why when Pastor Sonia said something, that these things are spirits, I could see him, he sat down. And when he was sitting down watching the pornography, that's how it starts. I could see how it was dropping into his spirit over and over again. And I was not surprised to even hear he was a bus driver. He drives buses of students to school. Okay, so he was driving buses. So, and the devil, so, you know, smart in his foolishness, knew, and he gave himself the devil, sat down for the devil to pour seeds into him. And having driving girls to school every day, come on, what do you think is going to happen? it led him to actually doing that. And the guy was really sincere. He said he's not a monster, he's just sick. Okay, now there are many of us here today, all right, we have been, you know, we do these things that he did. Okay, now the Spirit of God said I should tell you that. You might say, well, I won't end up as Eric Castro. see, God has big plans for his children. So does the devil. Okay? Now, this guy, I saw you are celebrating him in hell right now. Celebrate you, sir. You did a good job. Destroyed 4 lives. He committed suicide at the end of the day anyway. All right. Now, so does the devil. So if you intend to want to give yourself to the devil, sit down with pornography, sexual materials, sex and all of that, well, you might do much more than this guy. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to be teaching you how you can break from it. Okay. I just can't stop it. Why? Well, we'll be reading this scripture together. It's a teaching. By the grace of God, I'm a teacher of God's word. Amen. All right. Can we all read together? Thank you. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Let's read together. All right. He made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked arbitrarily. Some people are not reading. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Wait. Now, chapter 2 was talking about unbelievers. All right? Now, if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm sorry, but you will make Jesus the Lord of your life today. Because there's no way you can break out of sexual addiction. You see what that scripture says? It says, the prince of the power of the air is constantly, there's no 24/7, is constantly working in the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience are not children of God. Sons of disobedience are sons of the devil. Okay, if you're not born again, this scripture is referring to you, but you're not leaving this place that way. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, you can try and try and try. You can watch, listen to morals and people tell you, don't do this, don't do that. But you will not be able to break because it's not you. It's not you that is doing it anymore. There is a power at work in you that is pushing you to do these things. Okay, I read an account of a man. He was beating his son, okay, and he drowned the boy. I mean, they came to his house. What happened? Why did you drown your son? You know, Americans, they did mental checkup, every checkup. He was fine. Account was not, you know, blank. What happened to you? He said he was just beating the boy and he heard drown him. He didn't know when he drowned him. Just, wow, I did. I'm sure it happens. If you're not in Christ, you are not the one controlling yourself. I'm not surprised when I see things of Nicki Minaj. I heard recently she posted boobs everywhere. I'm not surprised, okay? These things they should not surprise you. This is not them that is doing it. There's a power at work in them. Let's read 3. All right. Amongst these, all right, as she once lived, conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh, our behaviors governed by our corrupt sexual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh, the thoughts of the mind, our cravings detected by our senses and our dark imaginations. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. Now, this story is saying that This book, Ephesians, was written to Christians in the Church of Ephesus, okay? It's saying that it was telling them what they were before they met Christ. That this was the state you were when you were not in Christ. So this is actually the state of those that are not in Christ right now. They are constantly obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. As an unbeliever, you might be a moral person, maybe your mom taught you well, close your leg, don't open it, and all of that. You know morals to the core. I'm sorry, one day at the wrong place at the wrong time, you'll find out how terrible you can be. Because you are constantly obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, your dark imaginations, by nature, children of wrath. See, to become born again is not by going to church, all right? It's by nature, okay? All right. Ephesians 2 verse 4, let's read that. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which he loved us, 5, even when we're dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive. Sorry, please pause, sorry. He said, he made us alive. Were they dead before? Were they dead before? Answer me, please. Youth. Were they dead before? Were they dead? All right, they were not dead. So he said, but God made them alive. So what were they dead to? Or what were they dead with? Or what were they dead of? They were dead to God. Praise God. They were dead to God. Now, if you're dead to God, let me say alive to who? The devil. So the devil can tell you what to do today, how to do this today, can tell you today, rape 5 girls. I'm serious. He can. And you'll be moved to do it. Okay. Now, he said, but God has made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. This same new life which he quickened him. You guys are not reading, no? I'm reading. Oh, yeah, read. Five. Oh, yeah, let's read. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Hallelujah. Well, this is it. He made you alive, okay? As many of you that are not here, you're not born again and all that. See, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, but it's a big deal if Christ comes today. But you can do it now. Okay, it's not like, oh, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not something that you have to hit your head on the floor. No, it's just to, you know, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. All right, you can project Romans 10 verse 9 for me. So that as many of them that would, you know, want to make that confession, they are sick right now. They can just do it, okay? All right, quick. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay. Can you give me the KJV, please? KJV, please. KJV. Okay. KJV says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay, see, don't feel, some people feel bad that if I want to give my life to Christ today, I have to confess all the things I've been doing since and all of that. It gives some people headache and all, but it's not true. Okay? The truth is this, a dog by nature, you can't ask a dog, how many times have you barked all your life? It's not possible. Because it's by nature, it barks. Now, we read just now from Ephesians 2 that they are children of disobedience by nature, right? So that means it's their nature to sin. So that's why God did not say, confess your sins. Because if you do that, the devil will tell you, what about that one you sinned in 1995? You'll go, oh, I have to get born again. That's why people keep getting born again and again. It's not true. But you want to get born again right now. You can do it right now on your seat. Just accept that you know that you need Jesus, because you really need him. He's the only one that can help you. Because whatever I'll be saying next, you can't do it if you don't understand the salvation issue and all. Just, you know, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. All right? Then, if you walk with God, if by eventually you sin, it's in 1 John 1 verse 9. You will confess, just confess your sin. That scripture is for Christians, not for unbelievers. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. Next. Okay. Now, when I'm saved, why can't I stop? Why do I still keep, you know, doing the sex thing? How many of us are born again here? Don't be shy. Raise your hand up. How many of us just got born again now? Okay. Now, when you got born again, did you forget the name of your mom? You did not, right? You didn't forget the name of your mom, your dad, did you? Response, youth. All right, thank you. Now, what you changed when you got born again was that sin nature. That nature that the devil propels you with to do things. But when you got born again, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are now a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are now a new person. That, not physically, your face did change, but your spirit man changed. All right, but the things that you did in your past, you can still remember them very well. The boy you had sex with, no, the abuse you went through, the rape and all of that. So you have to retrain your mind. That's why we come to church. If you go to Ephesians 4, it tells you for the perfecting of the saints. That's why God makes pastors available. I thought they were saints. They should have been perfect. But scripture says that they are perfected. Perfecting of the saints. So there is a perfecting. Your spirit man is holy, pure, nothing do it, do harm and all. But your mind needs to be retrained. You need to grow up. Okay? All right. And this is what Paul was saying. All right, let's read this. Don't worry, I'll stress you guys again. This is just what we'll read together. I'll read it to myself. Let's read together. Ephesians 4:19. Let's read. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves to a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity. Why not read, you know? Okay. Yeah, impurity. That their deprived desires may suggest and demand. You know, I said this. This is unbelievers. Anything that does comes to their mind, they must do it. As in, doesn't it amaze you? How can a man just believe that if he ties bomb to himself, he's going to marry 12 virgins? How is it 12? I mean, it's funny. As in, things that are working in the minds of unbelievers, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Okay, he said, but you did not so learn Christ. Now, he was saying these are what unbelievers, this is how they are. But he's saying 20, but you did not so learn Christ. You didn't come into Christ to become that way. He said that means they were still doing, be believers, they were still manifesting the unbeliever nature. He now said, but assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterize your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Now, I love what Pastor Sonia said. She said that sexual purity is a thing of the mind. You consciously do it. If I want to strip up my jacket, I consciously do it. It says that you put off the former. You will remember some things. You want to do some things. You want to, you know, watch porn and download a lot of them. Okay? Don't mind, I'm sounding like I was there before. You want to do all those stuff. But you would have to decide that, I won't do it. Because I am in Christ. Okay? I am in Christ. I am a new person. I am a total new person. My mind might not feel like it, but I am a new person. And I'm a work in progress. God is working in me. And he's going to perfect me. Praise God. Now, 22. Okay, 23. Let's read. In the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Hallelujah. Now, the person you're seeing stand here today wasn't like this before. Okay? You don't want to know what the devil took me through. Okay? But I stayed with God's word. Okay? Most of my friends, they can't recognize me. It's the truth. I believe there's such a transformation that God does with you that even changes how you look. I believe. It doesn't just change how you think, how you talk, but it can change how you look and affect your appearance. You look so beautiful. Okay. Now, it gives you a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. My attitude has changed. I didn't believe in purity at all. But if I tell you the level of purity I believe, you'll be amazed. I believe it's possible to cut, be in a relationship and not kiss and kiss at the altar. I saw it in God's word. God told me and I believed it. And I'm working in it. Praise God. So I never believed it. I never believed it. And all that. But when you stay with God's word, it will change your mindset. This thing is the mind. People do things because of what they believe. Like I told you, you can't. It's something propels you to tie a bomb to yourself and blow yourself up because you believe something. It's a mindset that compels people to do something. Okay, so you have to deal with the mind. Stay with God's word. Okay, now, and put on the new nature. Let's read. Put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Your spirit man is righteous. Your spirit man is holy. You have to come to the awareness of it. When I was working with God then, I remember some people say, we have seen, can anything good come out of Nazareth? she will fall back again. No, but I didn't stop. Okay, I messed up again and again and again and again. But when I saw it, oh, hallelujah. Some people are going to see it today. In fact, all of you will see it today. As many of you are going through this, you will see it today that you are a new man indeed. All right. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by his new ideas and his attitude, so that you will prove for yourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. See, to walk in sexual purity, is not difficult. Because when you begin to sit with God's word, okay, you begin to see that this is how it is. You begin to renew your mind. You would, for yourself, prove it out. Yes, you will. You will. You will, you will, you will, you will. There was a time that that scripture, your body is the temple of God. It used to scare me. I didn't like that scripture. But you know, I love that scripture so much now. Because understanding that if Jonathan is in this place, I'm sure there'll be like guards all around the building. You know, if who wants fly to be around, everybody will be so cautious. Cobweb here, cobweb, let's remove it. But you know who is living in you? Someone greater than Jonathan, the creator of the heaven and earth. I take care of my body with, I take it pee. I take it personal. Amen. I look good for Jesus. Because I understand that the person that is living in me is greater than he that is in the world. So if you understand that, if you even want to hug a guy, if fear of God will grip you, it's true. It can be that intense. If Jonathan is here now, if somebody even wants to, maybe a person does not know, a person wants to just open the door and wants to shout, people are like, sorry, don't you know who's inside? Don't you know. You would be so caught. How much more God that is living in you? Don't treat your body anyhow. Don't open it for some guy or don't do that. Don't do that. Someone bigger, the creator of heaven and earth, is living in me. I'm so blessed. You are blessed. Say, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Next. I need help. I want to be set free. Wow. People that are, you know, addicted to sex, they think they're enjoying life. They think they're enjoying life. They think they're enjoying life, but they are caged. All right? They are not enjoying life at all. Trust me, I know the difference. Praise the Lord. All right, you need to be set free. First of all, you need to be set free. You can't come to this meeting and listen to Break from Second Edition and go like, well, I don't need to be set free. I'm fine. I'll be good and all of that. Like I told you, Era Castro's story might be worse than that. But God won't let that happen for you in Jesus' name. All right, next. The only one who can set you free is Jesus. Why? I love Jesus. He came and actually, you know, to set man free. You can see it in the scriptures. You can write it down because of time. And you will go home and look at it. Luke 4 verse 18. He said he has come to set those that are bound free. Isaiah 42 verse 7, he says, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison. Matthew 11 verse 8, he says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So, if you're going through issues, you know, that are so big, the best person to run to is who? The best person to run to is who? Now, the devil will tell you, don't come to church. You're not good. You're not good enough. Run away from church. Leave church. You can't lift up those hands and all that. He will try to condemn you. But the best person, the best place to be is in the hands of Jesus because he said you should come. All right. The devil, this is what he comes to do. He comes to steal. It's bad to steal. But he doesn't just come to steal. He wants to kill that which he has stolen. He doesn't just want to hand it. He wants to destroy it. I mean, and what he's doing right now with sexual addiction, that's what he's doing. He's destroyed that Ari Castro's life. I mean, that man's life is just, I don't know. Amen. But Jesus said, I have come that you will have life, and that you will have it more abundantly. Amen. Those people are not dead people. They were alive. I was telling them that, look, there's a God kind of life I've come to give you. Next. Facing the truth is the first step to getting free. Some common myths about sex that keeps one in bondage. They say sex is like food. If you feel it, do it. It's not true. Have you ever been hungry and you just carry your shit or your poop and just put it inside the place and want to eat? You wait. That's why I love the theme of this program. You can wait. Amen. You can wait. Tell your neighbor you can wait. Tell your neighbor you can wait. Sex is not food. Come on, say it. I can wait. Yeah, because when you're hungry for food, you wait until you get a, you know, even if it's 2 days, you will wait. You will keep drinking in your saliva. All right. Once you start having sex, another myth is once you start having sex, it is impossible to break away from sex completely and not do it again till marriage. I've heard that several times, though. That's not true. That's just a lie to keep you doing it. Some people say, since we can't control, let's just keep doing it now. Let's just keep doing it. No, it's not true. You can't break away from it completely and you will wait till you get married. Next. Get the truth, God's word. Set your gaze on God's word. It's only God that can set you free. It's only his word that can set you free. And his word is truth. He said that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, to come out from that bondage, you need the truth. You need to know the truth, and you'll be free. Now, what is the truth? God's word is the truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. Their word is truth. Okay? Now, someone says, is God's word that powerful? How can God's word break me from that? Hebrews 4:12. See, God's word is very powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You can go and get a two-edged sword, and God's word is sharper than that. It can break any kind of mindset. Change. Next. Now, God is saying that, see, my son, attend to my words. Submit your, you know, everything to my saying. Incline your ears to what I've told, what I've written. Okay? That is the way the devil was working with Ira Castro too. He was always attending to pornography. He was always inclining his ears to those things. And you see what he did to him. God's word is saying that if you do what Ira Castro did, but this time is my word you set like that. It says you would find healing and health to all your flesh. Okay? He said, keep your heart with all diligence and guard it, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. I've got to a point in my life that I hardly watch movies. In fact, I mostly stop watching movies. But the devil understands the heart. That's where it starts from. He understands it. There was a time that a movie I had watched years ago was tormenting me like 5 years later. Spirit of God to tell me, remember that movie you watched? The mindset is still haunting you. You understand? So, guard it. God didn't say guard your head. He didn't say guard your boobs or your waist or your nakedness. No, he said guard your heart. He said because if you don't guard your heart, okay, you won't be able to guard the other part of your body. You won't be able to stay away from sex and all. All right, let's go next. Who are you? Find out who you are. Find out what God has to say about sex and your sex drive. Well, I thank God that other ministers have said that. Okay, not what the devil through the world system has to say because it's perverted. Most of us will sit down with Nollywood. We'll see two people going out, having sex, this one, they married, and we feel that that's normal. I used to think that's normal before. I used to think it's normal to be married and have sex in marriage. Trust me, I used to feel that way until I started seeing, I got to school and I saw in my church Christian people married, living in purity. You know, those that are even courtship living in purity, those that are married, I was like, wow. So it happens like this here. I never knew, okay? I never knew because I had so much focus on how the world does it. Where I come from is a place whereby my uncle could just come and say, ah, sister, I'm going out, the wife is at home, I'm going to meet that chick. My wife knows about it. That's how I grew up. So I grew up to see that these things, but that is not true. The devil. Going to come to realization that you can actually wait. You can wait. It's a fruit of your spirit. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of your spirit is long suffering, is patience. That patience means wait. You can wait. God will not say wait till marriage to do sex if you can't do it. I can't tell you to come and carry this, you know, podium if I don't know you can carry it. I can't tell a one-year-old baby to carry this podium if he can't carry it. So if I tell, you know, my friend here, Zeno, to carry this podium, it's because he can actually carry it.
So don't say God doesn't want us to have fun. That's why he's saying we should not have sex. You know, it's because he knows you can't do it. But the devil is trying to tell you that you can't do it. All right? You can't do it. Amen. Say, I can't wait. Oh, thank you, Father. All right. You can't wait. Ooh, glory to God. Now, can we see the scripture very well? Hebrews 4, verse 15. Can we see it? All right. He said, but for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feelings with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities of assaults and temptations, but one who has been tempted in every area as we are, yet without sinning. Amen. How many of us, do you people know that Jesus waited? Should I just say I waited? Do you know that when the devil came to offer him the throne, that if you bow down before me, I will give you. He came to take back the throne from the devil. He said, I will give you what was given to me by Adam and Eve. I will just give you. That's what the devil came to take. Jesus would have just said, okay, I don't have to go through all the trouble of dying for these people. See how they're even treating me. Well, Jerry, let me bow down. Not about that. But Jesus waited. He did. And God had highly exalted him. Those that wait. Oh, you don't want those that wait. There is a blessing for them. Jesus waited. You can wait. Someone said, that's Jesus. For crying out loud, I'm not Jesus. Well, if any man be in Christ, you are in him. He is in you. You are one. You are like him. You can wait. Next. Put your identity in Christ in your mouth. Nobody can talk you out that you're not a girl anymore. Nobody can tell you that your name is not your name right now, because right from when you're growing up, you kept hearing it. My name is Doreen. I'm Doreen. What's your name? I'm Doreen. Everyone, I'm Doreen. Even waking from the middle of the night. What's your name? Doreen. 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 Now, I'm Doreen. Who are you? Put who you are from God's word. God's word said you can wait. Oh, if it takes that bad to wake up in the middle of the night and say, ha, Yetunde, I can wait. I can put my body under. The God's word has said it all. I don't care. I will wait. Oh, I don't care what James is saying. I will wait. You are talking yourself to becoming what God was talked about. Okay? Because it says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, brings forth that which is, it starts from the heart. Okay? And you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what is in your heart is what you become. So you have to talk what God's word has said about you. Until he forms one with your spirit, then you become it with ease. You are not struggling to be a boy or a girl. You are not struggling. You are just it. I'm not struggling to walk in purity. Oh God, I'm not. I can't wait. I was never like this before. But when I saw who I was in God's word, I saw it written, 1 John 3:9, that whosoever is born of God does not sin. I said, so the devil has been deceiving me. I said, today is the end of it. Amen. Next. I think I'm done. Yeah, okay, next. Yeah, stay with the word. Stay with God's word. Stay with God's word. Not with, movies and all. Stay with God's word. Next. Well, identify triggers. If you have to break off from ungodly relationships and all of that, please do. Okay? I had to travel from Ife to Benin to go and break up from a relationship and come back to school. Yes, it's that bad. I had to go. Yeah, it's that bad. And when Jesus was saying, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I met a guy who believes that's actually true. You need to cut some parts off. Some people enter heaven with their head alone. That's not true. What Jesus actually meant with that scripture is, that thing that's very dear to you, if you can cut it off, those guys were very dear to me. I mean, clubbing and partying were very dear to me, but I had to cut it off. It was like it will look like you're actually cutting a part of yourself. Yes, the guy that you slept with, he has become a part of you. So when you're cutting him off, when you're saying no to him, when you're saying no to that guy, it's like you're cutting off yourself from him. Okay? That is, you have to do it. You have to cut it off. If it's sexual materials, novels, romantic novels, those things, stay away from it. If it's friends, stay away from it, because he that walks with the wise shall be wise. He that walks with the foolish, watch your life fall to pieces. Amen. I used to have foolish friends, but thank God I have men of God and great women of God as friends. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, that's it. Yeah, that's it. I think I'm done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, one more thing. I'm sorry. Before you clap, yeah, I just want to quote the scripture. James 1 verse 21. You know, it says, so throw all sports virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. All right? Yeah, you would let it go. This scripture was written to Christians. If you read verse 16, it said, my beloved brethren, they were still doing some naughty things. But he said that throw those things away. You can be who God says you are. Yeah, don't condemn yourself, beloved. I know that, you know, you've gone through a lot. Yeah, that girl that I heard that she was asking me a question. Okay, she was saying to me that, what about me that I'm constantly abused? How do I stay away from the person that's constantly abusing me? Well, what I got in my spirit is you should, if you have an authority that's higher than him, report him to that authority. And let him call him to order. Yeah, that's what I got from my spirit. Thank you very much. Bless you.